Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for your goodness and for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us from every sin. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that teaches us and that leads us into all truth. We thank you, Father, for this privilege to come together into your house and just ask that you would just bless us tonight, Father. Give us revelation from your word and help us to apply your word to our lives, that those around us truly can see a difference and that they would be drawn to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by the life that we live and by our commitment to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we talked about having a victor's attitude. And this afternoon, as I was thinking on this and meditating on it some more, God shared with me that we sing that song, "Oh, Victory in Jesus." And when we sing it very passionately, but then we don't live like we really believe it. And we sing like the song, "Victory in Jesus," but I think God wants us to live it more than he wants us to sing it. And so we're going to look tonight more deeply at having a victor's attitude. Let me just kind of give you a summary, if you would, of what we talked about this morning. And we're going to look at it tonight from a little different angle. In fact, quite a bit different angle than what we did this morning. This morning we talked about the different character traits that a person with a victor's attitude will exhibit. If you remember, we said that they will always expect to win. Always expect to win. And we as God's children should always expect to win. We talked about a person with a victor's attitude will never stay down. Now, they may get knocked down. In fact, you will get knocked down. That's just part of life. You may even get down, discouraged, if you want to call it that. But we need to remember that we need to get back up, and we're always going to get knocked down, but we always need to get back up that one last time. That person will always look to the future and will not dwell on the past. And I really wanted to spend some time this morning on Paul, where he said that I press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. If anybody ever had a reason to be remorseful over their past, it was Paul. But he pushed that behind him. He knew he couldn't go back and undo any of that. And so he just pressed forward from that point on. We talked about a person with the victor's attitude will also have a great attitude. And folks, again, we as Christians ought to have a great attitude. If anybody in this world should have a great attitude, that should be us. And we talked about that we should have a spirit of determination, that we're going to show the enemy that we are more determined than they are. And I like the way that Paul said that. When you've done all to stand, just keep on standing. And I don't know about you folks, but I've seen some kids when I was in high school, some little bitty kids that were getting in a fight with a bigger kid. And of course, I'm not saying fighting is okay. I don't think it is at all. But I was amazed just from the little kid's attitude. He told the big kid just by his posture, "I'm going to be here as long as you want to be here." And I've seen a lot of the big kids turn around and walk off because they knew it was hopeless even to get into a fight with that little kid because he was determined he was going to win. He may not have the size, he may not have the strength, but he did have the determination. And the last thing we talked about this morning was that a person with a victor's attitude has an attitude of faith. In fact, we need to go a step further than just an attitude of faith. They live by faith. Now, I want you to notice all these things that we talked about are choices. Every one of those is something that we have a choice in. And the Psalmist David even talked about that, you know, going back to the great attitude. The Psalmist David said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it." Amen. He made a choice. We all have that same choice. And I think I've shared this with you before, but it's a pretty good analogy. Some people get up and say, "Well, good morning," or "Good Lord, it's morning." We ought to get up and go, "Good morning, Lord." Completely different start of the day. Now, like I said, we're going to be looking at this victor's attitude at it from a different angle. But I really believe God has given us some things that can help us in our walk and help us be much more victorious than we are, and show the world that there really is a difference in living a Christian life. Sadly, I see too many Christians today walking around in defeat, and the thing that bothers me about that is they think defeat is normal. I see some Christians that don't think that we as Christians are supposed to be victorious, but God's Word clearly tells us that we are supposed to be victorious. And just kind of repeating a little bit about what we talked about this morning, because I think we have to push past some things. You know, maybe you have really messed up in the past. Maybe you feel like a complete, total failure. And maybe you feel like you can't not only change anything in the past, but that God couldn't possibly use you in the future. Well, if you haven't felt that way, you're probably abnormal. Because all of us have done things in the past that literally have made us fail like a complete failure. I've made that statement to Diana before in different areas of my life that I literally felt like a complete, total failure. But just like with Paul, we cannot focus on the past. We cannot go back and dwell on it. We can't change it. So there's no reason, you know, we need to learn from it, certainly. But after you learn from it, move on. I like what Paul said. I'm going to read this verse and then I'm going to step back and share with you something that God laid heavily upon my heart today. I've alluded to this earlier, but Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before." One reason, in fact, I think this is probably the most important reason that we need to take our eyes off of the past and look to our future, is that God's mercy is able to help us overcome our past. God's grace is sufficient to help us overcome our past. The blood of Jesus is powerful enough to wash us and cleanse us from any sin. And God's mercy, like I said, is strong enough to help us to overcome anything that's in our past. So we definitely need to move beyond that. And Jesus came, that, like it tells us over in John 10:10, He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He did not come so we could continue to live in defeat. It's not normal for Christians to live in defeat. We are to walk in newness of life. Newness of life. And part of that newness is that we are to live in victory. Now, if you're taking notes, and by the way, that's another thing I've been excited about. I've seen a lot more note taking today than I've seen in a long time. That's good. In 1 John 5:4, again, this is a very familiar verse that we read a lot, but we really need to catch it while we're reading it. In 1 John 5:4, the Apostle John wrote, "For whatsoever," and we could even say, "for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world." That's a very definite statement. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. It didn't say that you've got a 95% chance of overcoming. It didn't even say you've got a 99% chance of overcoming. It said if you are born of God, then you do overcome the world. And he goes on to say, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Folks, that's why it's so important. Well, that's one of the reasons why it's so important that we study the Bible in depth, intently, and on a regular basis, because it is our faith that we get from the Word of God that is our means to victory. We need to learn to walk in victory. And I know from conversations I've had with people from time to time, you'll be talking about being victorious and overcoming all the things in the world, and that God wants us to live a life of victory. And almost every time, somebody will say, "Well, yeah, but." Well, yeah, but what? Why are we going to argue with God's Word? And again, when we start that, that tells me we're focusing more on the problem, saying, okay, I understand what the Bible says, but you don't understand my situation. You don't understand my problem. Well, I understand that God said that He's greater than any problem you'll ever have.
Amen.
And that His mercy and His grace is sufficient. And I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But I do know that God's word is sure. And one reason that we don't walk in victory is that our faith is weak. When I say weak, weaker than it needs to be victorious. Now, if we are not completely assured that God's word is the absolute truth and that it is absolutely sure what He says, then our faith is weak. We need to get to the point that we were just like Abraham, that we were be absolutely persuaded. Absolutely persuaded that what God said He would do, He will do. A lot of times I think we as Christians act like the nation of Israel. God sent Moses to Egypt to deliver the nation of Israel. They were excited about it. They didn't like all the things they had to go through to get out of there. But when they left Egypt, God had already shown them great miraculous things. God had told them, I'm going to send you to a land that flows with milk and honey. And folks, for us, that would be victorious living. And in that land, God even said He's going to do special supernatural favors for them. Give them houses they did not build. Give them vineyards they did not plant. Do some special things for them. God said, I will give you this land. Then the nation of Israel gets to the river there, or to the border. They send over 12 spies. 10 of them come back and say, we are not able. Two of them says, but our God is able. Only two of them took the promised land out of that entire mass of people. Of course, we know that was Caleb and Joshua. Everybody had the same opportunity, but because they did not have the faith in God to be absolutely persuaded that what He said He would do, He would do, they missed out on their promised land. And folks, we have the ability to live in the promised land, which is in walking in God's fullness, walking in the blessing of God like He wants us to, but we have to live by faith. We have to have a victor's attitude, and we have to be absolutely persuaded that what He said He will do, He will do. Colossians chapter 2, and verse 6. This is where I really think that we, for the majority of Christians, and again, I'm not just talking about center point here, but definitely center point as well, but for the majority of the Christians, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So Paul is talking to Christian people here. He says, you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, walk in Him. Then in verse 7 he says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. There's three things there that we need to do. Of course, the first one is already, like I said, these were Christians. These were people that have already received Jesus Christ. Then he says, you need to get rooted in your faith. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. You need to build yourself up in Christ Jesus, and you need to get established in the faith. Amen. When we get established in the faith, that's when we can get to the point that no matter what happens, we can keep standing. I can tell you when you can tell when, I can tell you when you get to the point that you're no, if you're established in the faith. If you get to the point that Daniel was, when they were getting ready to throw him into the den of lions, and he said, my God is able. He had absolutely no doubt that God was going to deliver him from there. He said, my God is able. And there's others in the Bible. Paul, you know, I've talked about him a lot today, but he definitely was established in the faith, and he was built up in Christ. And when we are built up in Christ, and according to Romans chapter 8, Nothing can separate us from Christ, but in all these things, all the things that try to separate us from Christ and take away our victory, he says that we are more than conquerors in all of those things. I like the way that one translation put it. They put it, despite all of these things, victory is ours through Christ. Now, one thing that I alluded to this morning, and God has laid it on my heart to go into this a little more tonight, you may feel like you are going through a midnight prison experience in your life right now. You may be experiencing something that you see absolutely no way out, no hope. I was talking to somebody just this week. They said, I do not see a way out. Well, folks, first of all, we don't have to see a way out. That's why it's called faith. God tells us if we will acknowledge him in all of our ways, he will make our paths straight. We try to rely upon us too much and not upon God. We need to rely completely on God. I shared with you this morning about Paul and Silas when they were in prison. I'm sure they saw no way out. You know, here they were in chains, had soldiers all around them, had the prison gate, and I'm sure there were several prison gates between them and the outside city. They weren't concerned about that. They were simply praising God. And we saw how God delivered them. And like I said this morning, if we'll keep praising God and keep worshiping God, then God can show us our way of deliverance. And it may be a hard road to go, but it definitely, God has promised us victory. Now, one thing we need to remember, Satan is a fallen, defeated angel. Yes, he can bother us and cause us all kinds of trouble, but folks, he is not nearly as powerful as we give him credit to be. The Bible says if we will resist him, he has to flee. He has to flee. We are the children of God. We have been commanded to resist him, but the challenge is that I really don't think that we know what it means to resist. A lot of times we think resisting is, well, I really wish Satan wouldn't bother me. Or even asking him, Satan, would you please leave me alone? That's not resisting. I've used this illustration before, but it is so accurate. You've seen people on TV that were running from the police, and the police finally caught up with them, and they were pretty determined they weren't going to go to jail. They resisted and fought back with every ounce of energy that they had. We need to do that. Folks, this is a spiritual warfare. It is going to take spiritual energy to overcome. There is nothing that we can do in the flesh that's going to help us live a victorious life. We are going to have to get serious about spiritual warfare. I mentioned this morning about putting on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. And Jesus talked in the Bible, and I preached on fasting a little while back, that this kind comes only by fasting and prayer. And I've shared with you many times that Jesus got up hours before daylight every single day to pray and seek his Father. And then we wonder why we don't have the spiritual power today that Jesus had. Even though he told us that we would be doing greater works than he did. Well, the reason is we're not putting nearly as much into it as he did. I want to encourage us. Up your Bible study time. If you're doing zero, do 10 to 15 minutes a day of serious Bible study. And if you don't know how, you call me. I can teach you how in just a few minutes to do some serious Bible study. And I encourage you to spend 10 to 15 minutes a day in prayer. Some of you can spend more than that. I encourage you to seriously consider fasting. This is spiritual warfare, and we're going to have to get serious about it for God to really do the things that he wants us to do. And yes, there are going to be battles. And yes, we are going to have to stand in those battles. But that's exactly why God told us to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to withstand in the evil day. And folks, we're in the evil day. In case you haven't looked around you, it is evil. And it's getting worse. But God tells us that we can stand, and no matter what is happening in our life, we can keep on standing. But again, we've got to do the essentials. We've got to read the Word. We have to spend a lot of time in prayer. We need to learn to lean upon each other. You need to find you a strong Christian brother if you're a man, or a strong Christian sister if you're a lady, and build a relationship with them where you can call each other and say, I really need you to pray with me and stand with me on this. And have somebody you can go to in confidence, knowing that they're not going to go around and blab to everybody, but that they can stand with you and will stand with you and help you win the battles that are in your life. I need people like that. You need people like that. And I had a couple of people just this past week who called and who encouraged me, and it was at such a great time. It was when I really needed it. And again, I know that you need that as well. I want to read this tonight, something that Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I have never caught this before. I know I've read it many, many times. We've talked about how God is our strength, but Paul says something here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that really shows us how much he was relying upon the Lord. Excuse me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength. I want to reread that. We were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You can tell right here, Paul is in a desperate, talking about a desperate situation. He said, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of our own life. He's talking about a very serious situation here. Then notice what he said in verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul saying, I found out that I could not and should not trust in myself, but I had to trust in God who raiseth the dead. In other words, Paul said, I knew I was in a situation where without God's help, I was dead. I was that desperate. But he said that I put my trust in God, and God delivered us from that death, and doth deliver us, and he will yet deliver us. And I think Paul learned something from that. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's chapter 1 right there, over in chapter 4, starting verse 9, Paul said, We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Catch that? Paul understood that his power came from God and not of himself. Now listen to what he says in these next two verses. For we are troubled on every side. You ever felt like you're troubled on every side? Boy, I have. And yet, he says, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. And the reason he could say that was because God has given us victory through Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's why God wants us to have a victor's attitude. It's not the power that's in us. It's the power that lives in us through Jesus Christ. That's why we can overcome. Yes, life is going to happen. You are going to get knocked down. Yes, you will be troubled on every side, but you don't have to be distressed. And yes, you will be persecuted, but you are never forsaken by God. We need to just get back up and keep resisting. And I said it earlier, but I'm going to say it again with a little extension here. Some of you may be saying, well, Brother Greg, that all sounds great, but you have no idea what I'm going through. And you're right, I don't. I don't. But on the other hand, you don't have any idea what I'm going through. But I can promise you this, neither you or I have ever come close to going through anything like Paul went through. And he's the one that has said most of the things that we've said tonight, shared with you. Paul knows what it's like to have a victor's attitude and why it's so important that we have a victor's attitude. See, our circumstances really don't matter. Folks, nothing's too hard for God. Nothing catches God by surprise. You may not believe this, but did you know that God knew about our economically hard times jillions of light years ago? And yet it kind of caught us by surprise and off guard. It didn't catch God off guard. Not at all. I want to share a story with you tonight as we close about why our attitude is so important. And we as Christians ought to have this victor's attitude. I want you to write this down, and I'm going to tell you a little bit of information here, then I'm going to get into the story. This gentleman's name is Viktor Frankl. Let me spell Frankl for you. I told Bill that earlier, and he said, I can't. No, that was Marlene, wasn't it? She said, I can't spell Frankl. It's F-R-A-N-K-L. So just Frank with an L. He has a book that you need to read. It's called Man's Search for Meaning. Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist in Germany during the reign of Hitler. He was thrown into the concentration camps just like most everybody else was over there. But being a psychiatrist, he studied the different kinds of people. Now, that's what he did for a living when he was free. That's what he was naturally going to do while he was in there. He noticed that they were all in the same circumstances, but many of them had very different outcomes. And he said he couldn't help but wonder why. Now, let me tell you this before I go on. If you read his book, he gets very graphic in his book about what happened over there. If you got any sensitivity to your own, you will cry. You will weep bitter tears for what happened. He lets you know exactly what happened. But he said, as all these people went through these circumstances, he noticed that the outcome was so different. Some survived and went on to live their lives. Others died in the concentration camp. And he said, what is the difference? And out of all the people he studied, it boiled down to one thing. The difference was a matter of attitude. Can you imagine that? Through all the physical torture they went through, it was a matter of attitude. He said those who survived had an attitude of hope. They looked past the gates of the concentration camp to the future. Those that died saw themselves as defeated, and they knew that they were destined to die in the camps. And in his professional opinion, he said that was the only difference. Folks, we as Christians need to have a victor's attitude. If we are going to have struggles and challenges, and Satan is going to come against us with everything he has. And we need to have a belief in God that God is going to deliver us just like he did the Apostle Paul. So it's my prayer that you will develop that victor's attitude like we talked about this morning, that you will put your faith in God and that you will praise him no matter what the circumstances, and that you will keep your victor's attitude and you will just keep on standing and believing God no matter what the circumstances might look like. And sometimes they are bleak. And sometimes they're very bleak. And God may have to perform a miracle in your life to bring you out of that. Guess what? He can do that. He can do that. One last quick story, and it's one that we all know about. The nation of Israel, after they had been led out of Egypt, they thought they were free. They get down to the Red Sea, and if you've ever seen on a map or anything where they crossed, the Red Sea was behind them, and a mountain on each side of them, and all of a sudden, here comes Pharaoh's army. They were trapped. They were in a horrible situation. They were about to die or be taken back to Egypt if God did not intervene. God told Moses, hold up your rod. You might say, why would he tell him to hold up his rod? What's a rod got to do with this situation? It's called obedience. Moses held up his rod, which we could symbolize as our faith. And when he held that rod up, guess what happened? God intervened and opened up the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry land. Folks, a lot of times the reasons that we don't have the victory in our lives is we're not obedient. I preached a few weeks ago about being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He may tell you something that makes no sense, like hold up a rod against a massive army. Or like he did Gideon. Get you 300 men versus all these thousands of men. And oh, by the way, give them a trumpet and a clay pot and a light. But God delivered them. It's obedience. Again, we don't see with our own physical eyes. We see with eyes of faith. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before you. I thank you that you've called us to be victors. Father, we are truly living on the winning side. But we have to develop that victor's attitude. We have to get rooted and built up and established in the faith. And we have to stand strong and put on the whole armor of God and do the things that you've told us to do. And Father, we need to get into the warfare through Bible study and through prayer and through seeking you and through meditation and through fasting and all the things that you've told us to do. And then you've assured us victory. But Father, we can't be assured of that victory until we've done what you've told us to do, until we've been obedient, and until we're sensitive to your Spirit and to your leading. But I thank you that when we are, you tell us, Father, that our faith overcomes the world. That even if you have to step in and intervene in our behalf, that you'll do that to deliver us. And we thank you for it, Father. And I just pray tonight, if anyone has anything on their heart, that you would give them the courage to step out and to bring that need to this altar tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
481.
Appreciate your kind attention tonight. As you go through this week, think of somebody in our church tonight and pray for that person all week long. Just lift them up before the Lord. We've got a lot of people on the prayer list, and I'm asking you to pray for them. But somebody that's in our congregation may not look like they've got anything wrong, may not look like they've got anything going on in their life, but God tells us to pray for one another. So let's do that. Okay. Is there anything on anybody's heart before we dismiss tonight? All right, well, I'm going to ask Brother Rick Hall to dismiss us then.